order the San Juan County Fire District Regular Commissioners Meeting for May 10th, 2022. Start with the roll call. Commissioner Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Colley?
Here.
And Commissioner Cardinale is here. Okay, do we have any additions or changes to the agenda?
None from staff.
Anything from commissioners?
No.
No commissioners? Okay. Do we have any citizens' comments or correspondence this month?
No correspondence.
And?
No one online at this point.
Nobody's online. Okay, so we'll pass that over. Okay, let's look at the consent agenda. Correction and approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of April 12th. Anybody had a chance to take a look at that? Do we have any corrections on that? Then do I have a motion to approve the minutes of April 12th, 2022?
I'll go ahead and move that we accept the minutes for April 12th as filed.
Okay.
April.
April 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for last month, so. Oh, yeah.
And I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Having heard none, take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, passes. All right, next is bills and payroll. And we got those, actually got those yesterday. No, we didn't get those yesterday.
He got reports.
Like last week, you got reports otherwise.
But they've been on the commissioner's page.
For like a week.
I'll make a motion to pay the payroll.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay.
I'm gonna put mine on the airplane. What pull it from?
Yeah, that's a good reminder to silence your phone, please. You don't want to do like I did at Florence the last session. Okay, bills. Any questions on the bills?
I have none.
Standard.
You did have some overtime was up because of the fire, but other than that, you're right in line.
Yeah.
The one piece I will reiterate on when we get to the financial reports is we have had a significant amount that has come in from our taxes, so we moved the money back over to reserves as planned. We were looking at either this month or next as we did it, but it all came in fine, so we moved that at the end of April. So all those, that the funds that we moved over from reserve have been moved back.
Great. And I see here the on for the safe boat.
Yeah.
May 2022, the amount of $3,000. Is that a regular monthly payment for the credit?
Correct.
All right.
So we're making payments on our new boat up every month.
Right.
Indirectly, absolutely correct.
And we always pay a month ahead because that's how they want it.
Yeah, okay, so we're paying.
So this was April and it was for May.
For May.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I'll make a motion to.
Let's see, we had a motion for the bills.
No.
No, you had it for payroll. That's covered. You're on to bills.
On to bills, okay.
I'll make a motion to pay the bills.
Okay, I have a motion to pay the bills.
I'll second.
I have a second. Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Okay. New business. Do we have any new business? I know we had our work session yesterday.
And there was nothing to bring forward and we didn't have any new business that was, I went back and looked at any of the old business stuff, saw if there was any new. I think the direction you talked about yesterday at the work session will have new business coming, but there isn't anything to bring before you at this time.
Nothing yet. Okay. There is no old business, so let's move on to staff report, financials.
Financials, the biggest piece, so we'll go over the pretty pictures as Carolyn, that will just live on. So as we look at, and some of these questions, or as we talked about yesterday in the financial overview, If you notice, one of the questions that came up from Commissioner Colley was where were we on beginning fund balances and where were those numbers? So those, as you know, don't reflect in some of those reports that you saw. So actuals beginning fund for 2022, and I'm looking at this main summary one. We had budgeted 947. That was adjusted about. Actuals came in at 808,000. That's in all of them. So those were the beginning fund balances, was 808,000. So far, actuals for general fund, we've brought in a little over $1 million. That's why we were able to move those funds back over to reserves. Overall, our target that we're looking for is at 33% for the total budget. You can see for revenues, we are at 65%. Because we do expect to have more funds coming in from taxes. If you follow in expenses, we are under budget total at a 28%. Remember, the check and balance is that bank loan under capital projects. That shows that we've accounted. That should always be what our target is, because that's a fixed amount that we have every month. That's where we're showing. Obviously, we are under on materials and services where we want to be. And we're in line. We did, like I said, have a little bit of the overtime because of the fire, and we're at 32%. So we're still under budget for personnel expenditures. Specifically for the month of April, if you look at the next packet, total fund assets, we are at $1,074,000 between general fund, reserve fund, capital projects, and LOSAP. And we had $242,000 for payroll expenses and our debt payment for the loan. As you see, the fund balance is specifically broken down on the next page. General fund, we have $798,522. Reserve fund, we have $252,000. This does not reflect the $100,000 that we moved back over.
So it's actually $352,000.
That is correct. And that will reflect in the next month's financial reports. The capital bond always stays the same. For revenues, you see that at the time of this report, we had brought in $667,000. $655,000 of that was in revenue from taxes. And then we had a refund that came back, and we had the $11,000 in interest, reserve, and otherwise. And then we had the 216. So you see the capital, 3,000 for the boat payment. We had 55,000 materials and services, and 157,000 of that was for personnel. So we are in line with where we need to be for financials. Would be happy to answer any questions that you all have.
One thing I'd like to comment on is, because of some rumors out there, is can you find a place maybe on the Facebook page or something to put, I don't know how you do it, to put the, you put the money that we borrowed back from the revenue.
Sure.
Put, and has been placed back in there, because there's a perception out there that we're paying things out of revenues. And if you could kind of, you know, put that one to bed, I think would be of interest to everybody.
Sure.
It's really good on our minutes, maybe.
Well, yeah, we let's we'll explore what the best it. Way. I'm not sure that's the best way. I think something more graphical.
Okay.
I think the other big part is, as we post these, it will become very graphically apparent of what's getting moved and what is, and we can make, I think, so I'm going to take what you suggested there, Commissioner Colley, and go one more step, that if we have any significant pieces that we want to call out as we post these, maybe a comment of any significant either moves or changes or expenditures or revenues, we kind of make something that we define what the picture is telling us.
Yeah.
And that might be a clean way, so that the public is, it's, you can look at it and say, oh, okay, this is good. And then we have a note that says 100,000 moved over like to that. Reserve that makes it clear. And we can just do that moving forward as common practice.
I think, as I say, because rumor that is out there.
Yep. Any other questions on the financials? We'll make that happen. All right. Okay. Ops reports. That's the one with the other pictures and a lot of words on the back.
Oh, Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of reading on this one. So what Noel wanted to do from March, I think he actually means April.
Yeah.
So a couple pieces that have come out to play. Kathleen Salinas has decided that due to this time of year and otherwise, she wants to step away from her role as an apparatus operator. She was one of our part-time members. She's not leaving the organization. She just wants to focus on the saline and the stuff with John. So we were proud to bring on Brad Smith, which was the next in line on our promotional process. So Brad Smith was pondering it. And then we had the big fire and he was really dialed in, did a great job on the aerial apparatus, was pumping. And Noel came up and said, have you made your decisions? You want to play? And he goes, yes, yes, I have. And yes, I will. So he is our new apparatus operator that is taking Kathleen's place. Kate McDowell, due to some extenuating circumstances, wants to spend more time at home helping support John. And so she is stepping out of her logistics role. We recognized her last night, and we will do so when we have our recognition banquet, which we are trying to plan. We had minimum staffing that was met. Call volume was up. As you see, Noel is commenting out that we were up 4% compared to a year ago. And that's just consistent. We have an increase in general, and that's just how life works. Crews are busy. They're doing the dual role stuff. We've got fleet inspections going on. Maintenance is going on right now. The reason why we don't have our fleet and facility supervisor is today and tomorrow they are doing all the hose and ladder testing. We have a company come in, and he actually got some parts that were keeping engine 33 out of service from some warranty work. Those came in. And it's all installed and 33s is back in service now. Average response time was better than the 90 seconds. You can see that reflected on the front side of the page for you. Travel times are below average. And we did, we asked Carl to put together basically a good, bad, and ugly review of our island-wide, county-wide recruit academy. We had some conversations of where we can improve upon about some communications ahead of time, but everyone was extremely pleased with the outcome of the Joint Academy and would like to do some additional stuff coming down the road. One of the other conversations that came out of that was they'd like to plan at least once a year doing a joint session training wise, and we'll rotate around whether it's hosted here, whether it's hosted on Orcas, whether it's hosted on Lopez, to maintain that direction that we've taken moving forward, working collaboratively. And then Noel put a nice summary together from a command perspective of the fire on Spring Street. He tried to take away what we learned, what we could do better overall, some key points to call out. And I think that, and I know it's been mentioned before, but I would be remiss to not mention it again, the ferry captain from Washington State Ferries. He lives by the same mantra that we do, and that's doing the right thing. When he showed up that morning after the call came in, he moved Orcas crews around to get them over here with their apparatus. The next thing he did is he had two of his crew members suited up to go fight the fire. Their expectation is they don't leave the port. They don't leave that area. That captain came up and talked to NOLA's command, and he said, I could get in trouble for this, but if you need my guys, they're here. We're staying until you don't need us, and I'll just deal with repercussions from that standpoint. Noel did a good job about, okay, he had them, didn't need them, and immediately released them to watch out for that ferry captain. But nothing came of it, but I would be remiss by not recognizing, and I know who the individual is. I'm going to take an opportunity to go over and talk to him and thank him for doing that. He was willing to step up to the plate in the time of need that we had here. So crews came together, like I shared last night, at the internal post-incident analysis. The crews that came in from off island, when we asked for the task force to come over and give our crews some time off, they were ecstatic. We had some, one of the engine companies that was from a very slow area, they thought this was great. The ones from the fast area thought it was great because it got to be really slow for them. But they sent over a captain that was also one of their working up BCs. And so Noel was actually able to take the evening off and get a little bit of downtime, had a direct contact with that captain who was able to manage the calls for us. There was only a couple that came out that night and they did a great job of coming in, picking up, and the crews had fun because they had a multi-company house, Frank. So they had a great time with that and everyone did really good. I was able to talk to them as they were getting on the ferries to go back to their area on Saturday. And it was covered through State Mob because it was requested appropriately. So that was covered appropriately.
There was no cost for that, for those.
You mentioned it yesterday. One of the agencies actually requested that we pay for their ferry ride.
Okay. I got a phone call today.
Okay.
And he said that Washington State Ferries actually credited the credit card that they used.
Oh, there you go.
So he's sending the check back.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it either. So that was an interesting piece. That I'm glad to hear that played out that way. Washington State's Ferries, that's yet another kudos for them for taking care of our community. The MOB director was not happy that request came in. And because so the mobilization, so it goes regional as they moved over. Well, when that request came in, we actually got a call from the individual that put together the team that came over and said, I don't know what the heck is the problem with that chief requesting the $150 back for his ferry ride for the crew. And he was not happy about it because that's not what we do, because we go off island all the time to support people throughout the state. We've never asked for any of that in reimbursement. And State MOB does not, as Albert pointed out yesterday, does not reimburse for ferry rides. And we always get charged, which is really cool that Washington State Ferries chose not to. So it played out for that organization that felt that doing the right fiscally responsible thing was asking us for the reimbursement. Really cool that Washington State Ferries did not. And they refunded that, which is fantastic. As Noel also points out, we were lucky that it was reported when it was. He also calls out that we need a deeper volunteer firefighting roster and that we will continue our performance-based training because that is really played out. You can see that the performance of our members that showed up, the interagency support, same air packs, same training, same evolution, same communications. It played out really well. I would ask, since Commissioner Cardinale was wearing his other hat last night and was part of the PIA as one of our apparatus operator volunteers, do you have anything to add that you took away from last night's conversation?
No, other than the fact that it was, even with the bad and the ugly, especially when the tunes were playing. it was a very positive meeting last night. There were some things we discussed that, you know, could have gone better, but it wasn't that anybody felt like they'd done the wrong thing, just that in the future, there might be some things that if done differently, it might have made things maybe run more smoothly. That's within the organization. There was a couple of little small things, small communication issues, that type of thing. The bigger picture being the other agencies that responded and how they inserted themselves into the incident is a bigger problem that we just touched on. But it's something that will need to be addressed at some point to fix that. Mm-hmm. So that everybody's on the same page, so we all understand our roles and what we're supposed to be doing.
That's perfect. Thank you. Continue on with, and this is kind of admin and kind of ops. We were pleased last night to welcome one of the two new members. So our crisis response canine team has grown by 2 + 1 in training. So we actually have enough to actually designate a strike team of crisis response canines now. We have Jet, who was our start, and it was great that Cynthia was able to do an overview for the membership of how do these dogs work. There was a great video clip that she has of a team early on that was using them. I can't remember where in the country it was, but it was an FBI group that had used them. And by the end of the interactions, they're like, we can't imagine having our office space without these canines and how beneficial they've been. So the new team that we brought on, Raquel, she brought Pickles, which is her oldest of the dogs. Bungie is the second one and the youngest one who's in training and is full on body wiggles. They're all labs. And this one, he gets going and the whole body moves, is Ruffles. So they're joining the team. They were actually trained initially with the same group that Jet got trained through. This team has actually already done work with Seattle Fire, Seattle PD. They're also approved in part of King County Department of Emergency Management. So they've done stuff in the Seattle area. They have a place up here as well. And when she heard what the time was, she rearranged her ferry stuff and is making sure that they are here and part of the organization for when they're needed, as well as making sure that they're here on our first Monday or our second Monday all department drill for the organization. So it's really cool that we're expanding that team.
Could you share with the other commissioners the example of how it actually works when we had the burn?
Mm-hmm.
And how that affected our firefighters.
So as you know, last year, the focus that I had for our organization was on physical fitness. This year was on mental wellness for our firefighters. So one of the things when Cynthia came on, we asked her to do, we have a mental moment, mental Monday of what we have as an awareness standpoint tied to the first drill of the month. So what we asked Cynthia to do here a couple months ago was she taught them box breathing, you know, how to refocus, how to calm, how to bring that back into effect. So fast forward to where you're asking as the how do we know that this really works for our membership. On the training burn that we had a couple of the new recruits that were not able within the 20 minutes within the rehab to get their blood pressure and pulse rates back down to where they needed to be. At that point in time, Kate McDowell noticed that, said, hey, they're not coming into a line. I think we have some opportunities to do a little better for them. She grabbed Cynthia and Jet, who was on scene, fully protected up. If you've seen the pictures, he's got his little protective goggles on. If it got, he had ear protection for his hearing. If he was getting anywhere closer, he actually had little boots to protect his paws. Cynthia went over, coached them through some of those breathing exercises, and within 5 minutes, both of those members were able to come down. Blood pressure came down, heart rate came down, and they were able to go back and re-engage in the firefighting operation. So that right there, couldn't do it in 20 minutes. Short little focus piece really brought them back into a line. To continue with that, last night, we're also fortunate that Maria DeBrine is now part of the organization. And as you know, she works with Compass Health. And so what she did last night, they did a phenomenal job during the Easter parade, the little walk that everyone had. The station that they had, which was probably the coolest station out there, other than our bunny, and Kathleen Salinas, who was our Easter bunny. I think that she has a permanent role as the Easter bunny, because I can't imagine anyone doing a better job of our bunny than Kathleen. Everyone loved her, and she truly got into the moment. But the one station had Maria, Cynthia, and Jed at it. And Maria's idea was to let the community give suggestions on a poster board, and I'd be happy to show it to you. We have it in Noel's office, of what can we do as an organization and what does the public recommend that our members do to have a little bit of stress reduction. And they wrote whatever they wanted on the board. So last night, Maria shared that with the group, right? Some of them was watch Star Wars. Another one was fancy dinner for one. Another one was go get a mani-pedi. There was a number of relax. Someone said there was a lot of share love, relax, get a massage, all those. But this was the public that was putting out what they think and in support of the responders. And that's exactly how it was. The other cool thing that Maria did with that, because it was powerful enough that came out, During the final for the EMT class that she just completed over with San Juan EMS, she brought that poster over and shared it with her classmates and peers there to say, hey, here's some recommendations from our community about how we as responders can relax and de-stress. So I know that was a little longer than you're probably looking at a story of how it benefits, but I thought that it's a well-rounded approach of what we're doing and why. I give those couple examples of how we're really focusing on the resiliency from a mental health standpoint of our responders. Let's see, administration, it basically covers everything that we've talked about up to point. I don't have anything else to add. We're continuing on. Thank you for the work session yesterday. I think that gives us some really good approaches moving forward. And it gave us the confidence of where we're going to be planning on that next step on our deployment that we had talked about. It was a good dialogue, and that keeps us in line with where we wanted to go. That's what I have for staff reports. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions, comments, concerns?
I have just one question and comment. Are we working on the fair this year? We are going to have a virtual fair.
It's a live fair. And my understanding of where our positionings are is EMS, Eric Peters for sheriff, and us in a line. So we'll have law enforcement between us and EMS. And there's been a number of, why are you between us? Why are you not? Are we all together? How's this all playing out? So it's all good, but yes, it's a live piece, and we have crews that are ready to go to it. They just engaged in the children's festival. I know I heard the air horn a number of times and siren as they were doing things over this last weekend. So I think it's really good that public is starting to get out and starting to do more interaction. And yes, we will be fully engaged.
Is there going to be, or do we have a theme? Are we going to learn how? I mean, we're just going to be.
I think that's going to be a presence, but thank you for reminding me. Association came, and we've been wanting to do some more open houses, more community interaction stuff. So as a partnership between us and the association, they're going to be doing hot dogs, snacks, and all that kind of stuff. We're going to be doing an open house here on the 28th in association with Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And we have intent on there'll be a recruiting station. There's going to be a place for FireWise. We're going to have a couple demonstrations that we're going to set at different times. One of the demonstrations that we're looking at doing is at X period of time, we'll move people out of the way. They will have the forcible entry prop where one of the crews goes and works on forcing that while the other crew pulls a pre-connect line, gets in all their gear and gets up and gets ready to go. And then they'll make the access. Obviously there'll be touch a truck, there'll be here's the firefighter gear, that kind of stuff. Would strongly ask you guys to be there with us because we got great feedback from the Easter engagement where Commissioner Cardinale and myself were there. They really appreciated that. The citizens were able to come and ask direct questions. The second demonstration that we've been talking about is to use one of our small doll burn houses. So we will demonstrate, here's what it takes to force entry, pull hose, and do that. The second one, what we talked about is, and I'll narrate both, or Noel will narrate both as our chiefs, and then we'll narrate, and we're going to design the dollhouse one that we can demonstrate, this is why you close your bedroom door. This is how fire moves through a structure, because that's where people are concerned right now, and we'll demonstrate it. We'll do it, we'll have it all safe, cordoned off, and we'll talk through what that is. But we're planning an open house for the community on the 28th of May associated with Memorial Day weekend. And that is the Saturday. It's 10 to 2, I believe, is the timeline of what we're looking at. And it's that Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on that Saturday of Memorial Day weekend.
No, well, that's Labor Day.
Memorial Day.
28th
of May.
May 28th.
Albert was going to go, oh, sorry, I'm not going to be here.
I'll be in. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the plan.
28th of May.
Yes.
Perfect. That'll be here before you know it.
Yes, it will. We're like 2.5 weeks away from that.
That's all of this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we've got everything all connected. The glory of having someone like Brad Smith available. The food is going to be taken. They're going to take care of all the cooking, all that. We'll have people staffed at the different stations. And it should be really good. On the deployment of the UTV, we're coordinating, and hopefully next Monday or Tuesday, we will get it moved over, coordinated to move that and deploy it onto Stewart Island.
And they have a place to put it over there?
Yeah, they're going to build.
All inside, built up all together. They will have a solar piece to connect to the, battery tender, so it will all be set to go. And we brought three people on that are residents over there to help watch it and be responsible for it. We have, we'll be finalizing the draft policy of how it goes, how it works, who's able to use it, who's not, and they have to be a member of our organization. Residents from Stewart can go and get it ready, but they're not approved to drive it. They're not going to respond in it. They can get it ready, and then the members that are part of us can then go and support, and we will have it all set for medical as well as for wildland and otherwise.
Would their members have been through the training?
Yes. They're support members, so, and they will have specific training on that UTV, correct?
Are we planning on bringing that back in the wintertime? Have you thought about that?
One, we haven't thought about it. We plan on having one here dynamically deployed, but I don't see why we would move, even though residents go down there.
Especially in the building that it's in, it's probably the best.
I think we'll leave it there, because if we have a medical call in the winter, I think we want them to be able to go and use that to move patients or move things around on that. I don't anticipate us moving those rigs back.
Not unless it was a maintenance issue, we couldn't take care of that.
Well, that was also one of the concepts, is we have one here that's dynamically deployed. We'd send that over, we bring one back, and then it stays here, that one stays there. They're completely interchangeable, because we're going to have the exact same platform for delivery of service.
Is there any facility at all over on the other half, the other two-thirds of the island?
Yes, and the discussion of when we put one over there is, if there isn't one that's appropriate, they will build one that is appropriate, that fits the requirements that we have.
Be nice if they could put it right there by the schoolhouse. That'd be a good central spot.
That or right next to the dock, so we get off there and grab it immediately. That's a better place, because then we don't have to get to the schoolhouse. It's as close, because if you look at where it is on the airstrip, that where it's going to be, we get off the landing, we go right to it. The same thing would be on the other side. That would be where our recommendation would be on how we get it.
And apparently, if that makes any difference, but the owner of that ramp, that ramp is privately owned.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the, right. but the owner just gave it to the community.
Oh, did he? Wow. The other piece on, speaking of ramps, Stewart community has asked us if we would, or I would do a letter of support. They're trying to get the one main landing fixed, and they're running into some challenges with the county to get it fixed. And that is one of the landings that we use. Yeah. So I said, absolutely, we'll put in that this is an important landing place for us, for law, for otherwise. And yes, you should let them and support them in getting those permits moved forward so they can fix it up and make it work. So
it'd also be important for DNR.
Right. All of them, everyone. Right? Yeah. Everyone for getting on, because that's the wide ramp that you can actually get in with a wider front drop platform and not have to do a side dock on it. So they're going to do a draft for us of what they need, because they know exactly who they're talking to and otherwise. But I said, absolutely, we would support them.
Yeah. Anything else? Did we get anybody?
No.
Is Noel doing over there? There was the district doing any kind of a wildland class this year too, or not? What's happening there?
There's actually a 131 class. So yes, a wildland class. It's being hosted by Jordan Pollock. It's going to be over on Lopez.
Okay.
I think we're sending two.
One of our new firefighters went and completed the initial. So firefighter two, wildland firefighter two. Only one of our new firefighters was able to complete that course. Okay. There on Lopez.
So that's the intro course. We do have internally, we will do our standard
short
We will do our standard, bring them up for the season, do their pack test so we can red card those that need to be red carded. We'll do our performance based piece for wildland. So that standard, this is on the bigger class that a new person would need to go through. The other piece that is coming out, Jordan Pollock came to Fire Defense Board and asked if we would be interested in putting together a countywide wildland deployment team. It's basically been on me and my predecessors have been the coordinators for any deployments that go out of this county. What has happened historically is that a lot of the neighboring departments said, oh, yes, I want to be a part of that. And then ours are the only ones that when time comes to pull the trigger, either even go on deployment. It's also kind of a management side of things. I'm designated as the responsible person, as the chief. However, Jordan is working with all of us and we put an application together to put a team together with commitments of people that are on it. They'll get the training. And when you're working with Jordan Pollock, who is connected in those loops, you're going to get some good assignments. So we anticipate that that's going to be a good hook to get people in, and then it's going to be manageable. We're still going to be able to say, no, we need to keep our people home. But Jordan is willing to take on the management of that team side of things, which frees us up, still hold the accountability, still hold the responsibility. And Jordan is very knowledgeable and will work directly with us. And it's supported by Fire Defense Board. So all the departments will come together for that. So that is on the horizon and should be up and running for this fire season.
Okay, well, if we have no more further business, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to second. Any comments? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.